Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this live Sunday, the 28th day of June, 2026. And I'm very honored and blessed to be here with you this evening. We have a huge live broadcast for you. The communists here in the United States are winning almost all of the Democrat primaries. We got big developments on that front. There are big developments with the Department of Homeland Security moving to, with the Supreme Court ruling, deport Haitians, Syrians, and others. The left is completely flipping out. We have the Republicans led by Thune and Cornyn bragging that they're killing the SAVE Act that would just have basic voter ID. Just absolute treason. Then we have Muslims marching in every major capital of the world and other major cities, just hundreds and hundreds of huge marches, saying we are conquering the West, we are taking you over. I have like 60 or 70 videos of this, and this is intense stuff. Many of them with swords, Allah Akbar, we're going to conquer you, we're taking you over. Meanwhile, someone said, well, then let's go bomb Iran, let's stop the Muslims. We bomb them and then open our borders up and bring them in. That's the craziness, this. We have 45 times the Muslims in the West we had before 9/11 now. Then Trump, you remember, I don't know, 3-4 months ago, I said 25th Amendment him if he continues this. He said, Iran is going to be completely destroyed, never again to return. Their civilization will be gone. Well, I said, Trump, that's nuclear talk. He said it's going to be one big glowing crater, the whole country. He reissued a similar statement, not as bad, but close. United States aircraft struck Iranian missile and drone storage locations and coastal radar sites for violating the ceasefire agreement. Again, it's very possible that they will never learn. There may come a point where we are no longer able to reasonable and will be forced to militarily complete the job that we very successfully started. If that happens, the Islamic Republic of Iran will no longer exist. Now, at least he's saying the people and the culture of Iran will no longer exist, never to return. So it's not as bad, but he's gone through these threats. What are we, 120-something days into this? And we dropped 7.6 million bombs on Vietnam, and they held out. That took 15 years. We only dropped like 40,000 or less on them. And they're not going anywhere, and they've closed the strait. And Trump one day will post that and say, we got to end this. You know, we blew up most of our military, but we got to now move on. And then he's back to this again, just this seesaw back and forth. But there's more in the news now, and we've got one of Trump's chief advisors just went public, that Israel offered him $20 million a year to be a propagandist and work for them in the last couple months. Now, Netanyahu talked about the hundreds and hundreds of millions. It's what, $780 million plus $500 million in the last year has been spent on domestic propaganda in America. Do the math on that. And again, that, I don't care what foreign government it is. That shouldn't be going on. But when you say, hey, I don't want a foreign government getting us into a war, period, plus one we can't win easily or very hard, if even, I don't want the president getting us into wars without congressional authorization. That's the Constitution, much less a foreign government. And I went for a swim today at Barton Springs, and I had a lot of fans come over, but I had one guy walk over here, are you that guy? And I said, yeah. And he goes, how dare you hate the Jewish people? And I said, you're the one saying that, pal. What does that have to do? Ben Gavir and Netanyahu drag us into a war and doing greater Israel. If I don't support that and take their money, I hate you. I go, those people are hiding behind you. And he couldn't believe I wasn't guilted by his crap. And I said, get out of my face. Get out of my face. Okay, you are the one hiding behind Jews. I'm so sick of it. By the way, Tucker Carlson is coming up, that I'm live in the second hour and a special guest.
Decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at alexjoneslive.com.
Alex Jones is back. The InfoWar continues at alexjoneslive.com. And you can follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Plus, you can download the app, Alex Jones app, deepstateglobalists.com. So check it out now and let the deep state globalists know we will never be silenced.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
It's out of options other than something extreme. Moreover, this is not the beginning of the story. It's the end of a generations-long story. The buildup has been going for my entire life, and I'm 57, where Israel's solution to all problems outside its borders and often within its own borders is force, is killing people. We haven't killed enough people. That's why we're not at peace. And that's just a fundamental misread of life. Like, that actually doesn't work. It never ends well, ever, for anyone. Just as a practical matter, like, show me where that succeeded, that strategy succeeded for a nation. It never has, and it never will. So they're under that misperception. The United States has allowed them to govern, effectively govern the region, the Levant, that way, because we've paid for the whole thing and been their main defender, their really only defender on the international stage. And so we've allowed this spoiled child to get increasingly crazy and out of control. And now we're at the point of, you know, very limited options. I think the only thing the U.S. government can do is to try and calm them down. And unfortunately, the one way that Israel is different from other countries is there is this myth, which is like a foundational myth in the country, that all criticism of Israel is blind hate. It's this thing called anti-Semitism. It's the original brain virus. It's always existed. And there's no rational basis to it at all. It's just people hate Israel because they hate all Jews. That's not true, obviously, but I think a lot of Israelis, probably the overwhelming majority of Israelis, believe that. They've been taught that since birth, and it makes them resistant to any kind of correction or advice from anyone else. It's like, well, you're not Israeli. You just hate me. And that's a kind of a dead-end way of thinking, but I do think that they, I mean, I know, because I know a lot of Israelis, they really do believe that. But I do think, to the extent the United States government can influence Israel, one is with the stick, which is funding. No mas. We're not going to pay for any more slaughter of civilians in Lebanon or Gaza or the West Bank. But also the carrot, which is, it's okay. Like, it would be helpful if somebody, Marco Rubio is a close friend of Israel, been supported almost exclusively by the Israeli lobby and the Cuban lobby. His entire political career, he's got a million friends there, including the prime minister. You'd think it would be helpful for the Secretary of State and National Security Advisor to go over to Israel and say, let's just tone it down a little bit. There will be a tomorrow. Like, you're talking yourselves into an apocalypse that doesn't need to happen. Like, please, you know, the kind of the helpful outsider offering perspective, you know, when you're some disaster happens in your life and your best friend comes over, your college roommate shows up to have a beer and says, it's going to be okay tomorrow. And that's like the pivotal moment. That's the beginning of recovery. No one has done that for Israel. And I don't know why. Because it's in our interest to calm Israel down. Because as you just said correctly, it's not a conspiracy theory. They are kind of out of options other than to do something really crazy where lots of innocents die. And I don't see how that's good for anyone.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
We're now to the third hour of this June 23rd Tuesday transmission. And Tucker Carlson is our guest for most of the hour. And I got to tell you, I don't gush over other guests. Tucker, you know, woke up from kind of being under neocon brainwashing 15 years ago. He was right about every other major policy, American patriot, kind of libertarian. But I've seen the process of him getting totally informed into levels even beyond much of my information on the globalist and the different power structures. And then the courage he has had to try to stop in the last year and a half going to full war with Iran, how vindicated he is, and many of us as well. But he particularly being called the new Hitler by all of the different neocon organizations, the powerful Israel lobby, who is openly in the NDAA trying to take over our military. Mark Levin talking about the beautiful marriage of our militaries and what is in Section 224. I mean, this is insane how brazen and crazy it is. You know, I know Tucker and I, up until about a year ago, we mainly focused on China trying to take over, the EU or the left. And certainly those are big power blocks. But wow, what a time to be alive, Tucker. I know you don't talk about yourself, but man, you've got a lot of courage, buddy, because you're taking on one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful, mafias in the world.
Well, I don't think it's courage. I mean, courage is when you're afraid of something and you do it anyway. And all of us face that. And, you know, I'm always impressed by that. I'm not afraid at all. I don't know what I would be afraid of. I've just reached the age where I'm just not afraid. And the criticism of me is just not rooted in reality. I mean, if you were to criticize, as I always say, and I always think to myself, if you criticize someone in a way that's true, it's very hurtful. But if you say something that's like self-evidently ludicrous, it has just no effect at all. I mean, it's just it's a pillow fight at that point. I'm not a hater. I don't hate Jews. I don't even hate Israel. I'm disgusted by what Israel's doing. Israel's gone insane. But lots of countries go insane. Germany went insane in the 30s. America went kind of insane after 9/11. Like, good countries go crazy. Israel has gone crazy. I hope at some point they'll recover. They probably will. Most countries do. And that's not hate. That's just acknowledging reality. And so when people are like, you're a hater, you're a Nazi. No, I'm not, actually. I'm not insecure about it. I don't want to be defensive about it. I don't need to be defensive about it. So none of the criticism has any effect. I don't have any debt. I've got no investors. There's no way to really control what I'm saying. And what I'm saying is not bad. It's true. And it's animated by the spirit of truth. And I think by love. I want it to be animated by love. So, like, no, it's been a really light lift. The only really upsetting thing is, A, what's happening to other people, including you, where you had, you know, agencies of the federal government take your business away, slander you. They literally took InfoWars away from you with the help of, I think, the Justice Department. Like, that's shocking. Nobody defended you. So that's, I mean, as an American, that's extremely distressing to watch. By the way, congratulations for not being killed. You're still here doing a show. Thanks to Rumble. Amen. And the other upsetting thing is what's happened to Trump. Now, just to be clear, I'm really happy that he's accepted the loss. I'm sad about the loss, but there's nothing we can do, that we don't have any options as a country.
And you tried to avoid the loss and predicted.
He's taking the only available course to him. I think he's being realistic about it. He's pushed back against Israel. I support all of that. Good for him. But I'm sad that we got here in the first place. And as someone who supported Trump and campaigned for him and knew him well, and, you know, that I find that depressing. Really, it's been really depressing, actually. I finally snapped out of it. I feel better. But it's been a hard winter just to see that. But otherwise, I would say all is well. I feel cheerful.
Well, you more than anybody predicted the strait would be closed, the mullahs wouldn't fall, and it was a disaster. And for that, you got demonized. You got called low IQ. I was honored to be amongst the four people that Trump savaged a bunch. But notice now that we've been vindicated and proven right. Notice now that we've been vindicated and proven right that we're still the bad guys. But Mark Levin and all the rest of them are the good guys. Though I did see Trump last week say he's disappointed and lost respect for the Israel hardliners, meaning Netanyahu, because he didn't spoke about Netanyahu and the rest of those guys. What are they going to do now as it dawns on them that Trump is at least for now waking up to the fraud they sold him?
I think Trump, for whatever it's worth, it's my belief, and I haven't talked to Trump since February, so I don't know this, but I believe it. I think Trump knew almost instantly that he'd been had, that he'd allowed himself to fall for this lie that the Iranian government would collapse once we killed the Ayatollah. And when that didn't happen, he instantly blamed Israel. That's my view. And I think that's why he sent the Secretary of State out there to say we followed Israel into this. So I think Trump has known. He tried to bluff his way through it. He tried to intimidate the Iranians. Obviously, it didn't work. I think we're in a really dangerous place right now, because Israel is, for the first time maybe in my lifetime, legitimately threatened. And I say this as an opponent of the Israeli government, obviously a fairly well-known opponent of the Israeli government, but I don't want to see innocents die anywhere, including Israel, period. I believe in universal standards. It's always wrong to kill innocent people, including in Israel. So I'm not wishing their destruction, but I think they are in a very tough spot. And the problem for Israel is they've been talking for 50 years, my whole conscious life, about how they're on the verge of being destroyed. And that's always been a lie. But now you have an Iran that is a regional power. It's a global power. and it's not going to go away. And so Israel is in a place where domestically the country's gone crazy. They're convincing themselves that, you know, every crisis is an existential crisis. The only way out is to kill more people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then their great enemy suddenly becomes, paradoxically, ironically, way more powerful than it was when this war started 3 months ago. And so, like, where does that leave the Israelis? By the way, the United States is clearly going to begin the process, hopefully a short process, of distancing itself from Israel. We've got no choice. And they know that. The smart ones know that. So they're in a box. And in general, you don't want to put people in boxes. You don't want to corner them, people or animals, because they do unpredictable things. And so I think Israel's a threat. Israel has one trump card. It's nuclear weapons. And you don't want to put Israel in a position where they feel they have no choice but to use those weapons. I think Israel's always been a lot closer to using nukes than any other country. I mean, we know that because they've said that. And I think they're now closer than they've ever been. So, I'm not in charge of anything. I'm just a podcaster. But if I were running the U.S. government, I would, you know, immediately distance myself from Israel, stop paying for their genocide, of course, on moral grounds. But I would also try to calm them down, because if they get too overwrought, you know, really destructive things could happen. That's an absolute possibility. And anyone who says it's not a possibility is lying. It is a possibility. So I would be very concerned. I am very concerned about that.
Well, that was my next question. Is Israel's whipped itself into a frenzy, at least the Likudniks. I know our good buddy Ben Gurvier has been making statements similar to the one Trump made when I said, okay, 25th Amendment Trump, if he really tries this or does this, when he said, right, tonight the civilization of Iran ends forever, never to return. The next day, it'll be a smoking or glowing crater, nuclear weapons. He said, tune into Mark Levin. He says what I want to say. Mr. President, do what Harry Truman did. A-bombs, do it, hit them. So we had to come out and say, you know, that's crazy. I did, you did. And we got, you know, called low IQ. Great, who cares? No, we were actually high IQ. We were proven right. Now we hear nuclear talk by Israel. You've got all these horrible people and Israeli spies like Jonathan Pollard saying use nukes, hold us hostage using nukes. What do you now you've got Ben-Gavir last week saying, we're going to burn all of Lebanon. He said yesterday, all of Lebanon is ours. We're taking all of Lebanon. He's more powerful than Netanyahu in many ways. Why are they foaming at the mouth like this? We want Turkey. We want Egypt. Greater Israel. Ben-Gavir looks like he's on 10 hits of ecstasy, like he's hallucinating on a power trip. Classic megalomania. And then this thing just moves forward. And we know Israel tends to double down, especially with the Likudniks. Now we have all these intelligence people and military over there saying, we need a new 9/11 to show America to get in line. Iran's about to do a new 9/11. Oh, yeah, yeah. We know who was heavily involved in 9/11. Clearly, the Likudniks, Israel, along with some of their own elements, bare minimum stand down, Building 7, the, you know, the bombs in the buildings. So I'm really concerned that all Israel has left is nuclear blackmail and or a nuclear false flag or something like it to blame Iran. I really think that's on the table. What does Tucker Carlson think?
I think you're clearly right. I mean, they're saying it out loud, so we're not guessing. I mean, you just interpret their statements, which need very little interpretation because they're pretty direct statements. And I think they reflect reality. Israel feels that it's out of options other than something extreme. Moreover, this is not the beginning of the story. It's the end of a generations-long story. The buildup has been going for my entire life, and I'm 57, where Israel's solution to all problems outside its borders and often within its own borders is force, is killing people. We haven't killed enough people. That's why we're not at peace. And that's just a fundamental misread of life. Like, that actually doesn't work. It never ends well, ever, for anyone, just as a practical matter. Like, show me where that succeeded. That strategy has succeeded for a nation. It never has, and it never will. So they're under that misperception. The United States has allowed them to effectively govern the region, the Levant, that way, because we've paid for the whole thing and been their main defender, their really only defender on the international stage. And so we've allowed this spoiled child to get increasingly crazy and out of control. And now we're at the point of, you know, very limited options. I think the only thing the U.S. government can do is to try and calm them down. And unfortunately, the one way that Israel is different from other countries is there is this myth, which is like a foundational myth in the country, that all criticism of Israel is blind hate. It's this thing called anti-Semitism. It's the original brain virus. It's always existed. And there's no rational basis to it at all. It's just people hate Israel because they hate all Jews. That's not true, obviously. But I think a lot of Israelis, probably the overwhelming majority of Israelis, believe that. They've been taught that since birth. And it makes them resistant to any kind of correction or advice from anyone else. It's like, well, you're not Israeli. You just hate me. And that's a kind of a dead-end way of thinking. But I do think that they, I mean, I know, because I know a lot of Israelis, they really do believe that. But I do think to the extent the United States government can influence Israel, one is with the stick, which is funding. Namas, we're not going to pay for any more slaughter of civilians in Lebanon or Gaza or the West Bank. But also the carrot, which is, it's okay. Like, it would be helpful if somebody, Marco Rubio is a close friend of Israel, been supported almost exclusively by the Israeli lobby and the Cuban lobby, his entire political career, he's got a million friends there, including the prime minister. You'd think it would be helpful for the Secretary of State and National Security Advisor to go over to Israel and say, let's just tone it down a little bit. There will be a tomorrow. Like, you're talking yourselves into an apocalypse that doesn't need to happen. Like, please, you know, the kind of the helpful outsider offering perspective, you know, when you're some disaster happens in your life and your best friend comes over, your college roommate shows up to have a beer and says, it's going to be okay tomorrow. And that's like the pivotal moment. That's the beginning of recovery. No one has done that for Israel. And I don't know why, because it's in our interest to calm Israel down. Because as you just said correctly, it's not a conspiracy theory. They are kind of out of options other than to do something really crazy where lots of innocents die. And I don't see that, how that's good for anyone.
Well, let's also be clear. And you're the guy that really did the legwork. It's just true. I mean, you see, people think I have energy. You got like three times what I see. It's in, you pop up everywhere. I saw, you know, all the former Mossad chiefs, most of their IDF heads. And they're also on Israeli news all the time, but the vast majority, I mean, like 98% of them, Michael Savage came on 8 months ago, and he's pro-Israel, but he said, I know all these former intelligence heads and generals, they say Netanyahu's going to go for full war, greater Israel, is going to get Israel destroyed. So it's not even like Israel's one monolith, but the Likudniks have been able to stay in control. And you're the guy that went and interviewed dozens of former intelligence heads and generals saying everything you're saying, but there's a news blockade of them on Fox and CNN. And the Democrats have acted like, you know, they're opposing this, but they've really been, you know, bought off by AIPAC as well. So your BB files are everything you do gets viewed. But this should have been some of the most viral stuff you ever did. The BB files are incredible.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think that, well, first I would say that I don't think Netanyahu is the most radical person in Israel. In fact, I think probably in the political class, the ruling political class in Israel, Netanyahu is probably more on the moderate side. So the idea that the problem is Netanyahu is just not true. I wish it were true because it's easily fixable. You just there's going to be an election fairly soon, get a new prime minister, the country calms down. No, the problem is much deeper than that. The problem is so deep, in fact, and this is not speculation, it is true. Mossad, which everyone despises and for good reason, I think, and is afraid of, definitely for good reason, is a moderating force on the Netanyahu government. So, for example, the Israeli strike on Doha, Qatar on September 9th, which was one of the craziest things Israel's ever done, strike America's closest ally in the region during a negotiation. Like, it was so out of bounds that even Trump complained about it at the time. Mossad sat that one out. They did not participate in that strike because they're like, whoa, 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 this is too crazy. Like, you're going to alienate our only remaining ally. But the Netanyahu government, which is not just Netanyahu, it's a coalition. It's a parliamentary system. There's a lot of different parties involved in that coalition. They push this. So what I'm saying is the radicalism on display where you have Israeli cabinet ministers openly calling for genocide, celebrating the murder of children, calling for nuclear strikes, like truly crazy behavior that even the North Koreans don't do. That is like deeply embedded in this ruling party, in the structure that controls the Israeli government. And so I don't really know
They're definitely radicalizing each other. And then Ben-Gavir, see him beating up flotilla people, running around all crazy, making supervillain statements that's like from a Marvel Comics cartoon or something. And I see this, and I was like, if I was trying to destroy my country, I would behave like this, but I guess they've just whipped themselves into like a shark frenzy.
But that's what happens. This is what happened in 70 AD when the Romans, in really like the most vivid example of actual genocide in history. Exactly. The rebels against the Roman Empire. And it began several years before with these series of revolts. But there are a number of different factions, as you said, basically, and it's worth reading about. It was written about extensively at the time. But they radicalized each other. So there was a great deal of division within Jerusalem, like Jewish factions killing each other. Like they were not a united front at all. And partly because of that, they got wiped out by the Romans. But the effect was they couldn't reach any kind of reasonable compromise with the empire. And by the way, they were in a pretty good spot in the empire. They didn't have to have this happen to them, really. But they convinced themselves. And it's not just Jews who do this or Israelis or like lots of people. This is a human thing, by the way. We're all capable of this, in my opinion. But it certainly happened in Jerusalem before, almost 2,000 years ago. And I'm not saying I hope that doesn't happen now, obviously, but it's the same dynamic.
And I'm sure you know this because I've seen you talk about it. I'm going to interrupt. Yeah. Harrison Smith, 6 months ago, made a documentary, got tens of millions of views. When I did a show, prompted him to do it, showing dozens of clips of Netanyahu and other leaders saying, Rome beat us 2,000 years ago and destroyed our temple. We see the West as Rome, and that's actually our enemy. And then they write best-selling books about it. You talk about an old beef. So when you said last week, many people in Israel hate Europe, not just over Hitler, they literally see Europe as the original enemy. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, I think it's in the Passover prayers.
Yes.
You know, resentment toward Rome, meaning Christian Europe. Of course. I mean, that's what the Bolshevik Revolution was about. It's what a lot of this turmoil is about. And it's not, you know, it's not everyone buys into this nonsense, but some enough people do that it is a factor in history repeatedly. And it's certainly a factor in what's happening in Europe now with, you know, blowing up Nord Stream, the current war. It was very obvious going into this. I said this to the president in February. One of the immediate downstream effects of this will be the degradation, if not destruction, of Europe, both through, you know, if you're successful in toppling the government, there will be a massive migrant crisis into Europe, which will further crush the continent. And even if there's not, there's going to be a massive energy crisis that will affect Europe and Southeast Asia first. And it'll crush Europe. It's the last thing they need. If you want to totally deindustrialize Germany, which is the economic engine of Europe, then this is what you do. Trump knew that going in. The Israelis knew that going in. I don't think that was the main goal, but it was certainly one of the goals, also to hurt the Gulf states. I mean, there are probably lots of goals here. But the hostility toward Europe by Israel is longstanding. It's obvious. For some reason, you're not allowed to say it. I don't know why. It's not an expression of hate to note other people's hate. You're not the criminal for pointing out someone else's bad attitude. They are. But whatever. It's best just ignore the response to it and just tell the truth. There is longstanding animosity between some, not all, but some in Israel toward Europe. And it, because it's never...
There are billions of ways for people to be culturally, spiritually, politically, environmentally engaged. And there are millions and millions of different programs and podcasts and radio shows and things around the world out of the 10 billion people on this planet. But on the record, what we've done at InfoWars, and this is just the, you know, second leg of that at alexjoneslive.com, has changed the world. Our guests, our callers, our researchers, our reporters, and my overall futuristic analysis and view of the destiny of humanity, which I don't claim to be 100% accurate, but it's definitely proven to be a good template to observe the world, has had a giant effect, and the globalists do not like it. So when you share that local AM and FM station that you listen to and tell those you share it with to share it, it changes the world. When you say this is a forbidden information at alexjoneslive.com that has the free audio and video feeds and archives and shows and articles, you are literally going in the face of the censors and the tyrants. You're changing the world. It seems simple. It seems little, but it's not, because we have millions of listeners and viewers. And if we can leverage that out to millions more and have them leverage it out, that creates the chain reaction. And all the great guests and hosts we've had on over the years who are already great, successful, they'll tell you how much more their shows blew up once they were on air here with this operation. We are here to get the next generation, black, white, old, young, to awaken to the epic time that we're all alive in right now and to take action. So your word of mouth is key, your prayer for the broadcast is key, and supporting us financially is so key. And we make it symbiotic, where everything you get at thealexjonesstore.com will empower you, will enrich you, and will be an adventure. The Patriot Apparel, some of the best designs ever. limited edition for the 250th anniversary of the United States of America are out right now. Right now, ladies and gentlemen. And this latest design, these limited edition, America, red, white, and blue on your Sterling Royal Blue, 76, America 76, 250 years. That is a really cool shirt. I think it's going to be a bestseller. It just came out today. And all the other 250th anniversary limited edition shirts are available right now as well at thealexjonesstore.com. So be sure and check those out. And I thank you for your support. But wearing these out in public, meeting like-minded people, spreading the word, it's an adventure in and of itself, and it funds this operation, which is exposing the next pandemic, the next attempted lockdowns, the next big globalist war. You are financing your own future for a better future and better destiny when you keep this broadcast on the air. But you can also experience the InfoWar on the ground wearing these great shirts. Also, we have the new dual carbon platinum gravity-fed filter, the highest quality gravity-fed carbon filters that are the highest rated, cutting out all of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of horrible forever chemicals that are out there. And it has the highest quality stainless steel. Nobody has got a filter with better filtration. It's the highest rated, and nobody has as beautiful a filter as this. And ours is way under the price of competitors that are crap. This is the best. It's a home run by Bigley, our sponsor. We're so proud of it. Here's the issue. 1,000 of these came in. It sold out in 3 days. They got a couple thousand more coming in like late next week. Those are pre-order right now. They're going to be sold out soon. And then I'm going to stop promoting it until they get even more in, because I don't like doing pre-order. But if you want to be at the head of the line to get these while you still can, and not have to wait a month or so after that, get your order in now, right now, at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're on the site, check out all the other great Patriot apparel, the super high quality military grade belts, all the great supplements and more at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Teach people how to read and write, have the Enlightenment, which America was the flower of in 1776, and empower people. Real aristocrats lead the people, are patrons of the people, and instead we have fake aristocrats that are kleptocratic, that try to dumb us down and control us, try to divide and conquer us, and attack the West because it is a competing system of liberty that their globalist transhumanist system will not be able to defeat. And so it's the dumbest elite ever to undermine civilization, to have a bunch of tribal idiots not understanding the end. Those tribal idiots will consume themselves and them in the process. Not a very smart elite.
It's not a smart elite, but you can see the allure, because any globalized system, any transnational system, provides all the benefits and none of the obligations to the people who run it. So in a traditional system, in the world that I grew up in, for example, if you had a housekeeper, you're privileged to have a housekeeper. Most people don't have housekeepers. But if you do have a housekeeper and her kids want to go to college and she can't afford it, you have to pay the tuition, because there's not just the benefit, there's also the obligation that goes with it. It was called noblesse oblige. And it was a real principle. It wasn't just some dumb WASP thing. It was an ancient concept. It is the most ancient concept. And it is that loyalty goes both ways. Obligation goes both ways. With benefits come obligation. So it's just a very simple thing. But it's only in a globalized economy, which is what we have, that the people who are reaping the largest rewards can pretend that actually I'm not an elite. I'm not an elite. That's why I wear jeans and a turtleneck. That's why I look like Steve Jobs, right? Because I may run everything, but I don't have to admit that. I'm just like you, except I'm a billionaire who's in charge of your brain. Okay. But they pretend that, because if they admit that they're actually plutocrats or oligarchs or they're the rulers of the world, which I wish they would, then all of a sudden it becomes like, well, how can you be making $1 billion in a country with 1 million people living on the street at night using fentanyl? Like, you that doesn't work. Like, you have to do something about that. You have to make, maybe you don't fix it, but you have to make a good faith effort to try, because you have an obligation to the people who made you rich.
And we're talking about,
we're
talking about the social
really
contract.
Created a system that's all upside for them. Yeah, the social contract.
Social contract's been broken, and now something new is coming out of that. I want to finish it with Israel and then get into your statement about being done with the Republican Party, why you're saying that, I have a lot of questions from viewers that were posted on X. I want to ask you some of those in this precious time we have with you. But since you mentioned Israel playing victim, it's got a whole bunch of nuclear weapons. It's way more wealthy per capita than we are. It's basically using our money, won its wars, but now it is on a delusional power trip saying Greater Israel publicly, all of Lebanon. We can show the map of Greater Israel, but, you know, a whole bunch of Saudi Arabia, a whole bunch of Syria, you know, a bunch of Iraq. This is parts of Egypt, delusional. And then you got Mark Levin in one of his recent shows, you know, when he's not saying, you listen here, Tucker, with your little show. You think we're going to let you operate? You watch, buddy. Well, he sees now you're vindicated in there now, you know, behind the eight ball. But here he is talking in a brief clip about little Israel and any Republicans not supporting whatever we say to do. You're bullying us while we primary your members of Congress and while we brag, we run your country. Here he is.
I want to say to people in and out of the administration, stop trashing, smearing, bullying the little state of Israel. Stop cozying up to and telling us that the enemy regime in Iran is now more rational, more moderate, and a regime that we can deal with. When just a few months ago they slaughtered 50,000 people, they're still hanging young people today. And if they had a nuclear missile today, they'd fire it into our country as sure as I'm alive. I don't know what's going on, but if people think they can bully a little country, really a people that have existed 4,000 years through the Babylonians and the Persians, through the Romans and the Third Reich, into surrendering their defense and their decision on how to secure their country, they got another thing coming. I think it's outrageous. When we used to see the Secretary of War and the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff daily here on Fox tell us of the fantastic marriage, symmetry between our militaries in defeating this enemy. I'm really appalled by this, and I hope it comes to an end sooner than later, because it's not right, it's not just, and it's not truthful.
So now if we don't stay in a war they sucked us into, that they started, that they lobbied, we're bullying them. This is ass backwards, Tucker. And then I want to just finish up on Israel dovetailing. The NDAA, the marriage he just talked about of our military and intelligence, the whole nine yards, it's in the Senate intelligence bill as well. And then Netanyahu calls this getting away from our money because they'll co-own our weapons. This is really an attempted Israeli coup through law that's really a treaty, Tucker.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to work. And I look at Levin or whatever he calls himself, and I feel sad. I mean, the spoiled child always hates his parents. The ones who abetted his grandiosity are always the ones he blames. This is exactly what happens when Christian Zionists tell Israelis they're God's chosen people, they're special in the eyes of God, which is absurd. It's not a Christian understanding of reality. It's just not true. We're all people, all created by God. We're all fundamentally equal in God's eyes, at least at birth, chosen people. It's absurd. But if you tell people like Mark Levin that for their entire lives, they become what a spoiled child becomes, which is this very recognizable combination of fragile, preening, self-hating, hating other people. I mean, that's exactly what you get. And we did that. And we did that by funding Israel, and Israel's supporters in the United States did that by flattering Israel and abetting all of their worst instincts. It's like your kid takes his diaper and smears crap on the wall, and you're like, that's art. How do you think that child grows up? You think that kid grows up to be like balanced, well-adjusted?
No, an entitled psychotic.
An entitled psychotic. And we did that. And I feel guilty about that. By the way, I didn't do it, but I watched it happen. I said nothing because I don't want to deal with it. But I should have been wise enough to know this is what would result. Of course, we're going to wind up on the brink of nuclear war, right? Of course, because we created this attitude. And of course, they're a threat to us, which they are. That resentment is 100% real. Mark Levin hates the United States for Trump's statement last week.
Well, he said he hates Trump. He said he hates Trump, and you've warned Trump that they hate his guts.
Of course. I told Trump before this started, these are your enemies and they're luring you into a trap, but whatever. I'm a podcaster. I'm not in control.
Well, I know this, and I'm not going to play the clips. I'm sure you've already seen them. I played them in the last few days. at the World Jewish Conference and then at this conference that Levin and Huckabee, where Huckabee says he wants to live in Israel and all the rest of it, and he thinks Trump will fire him any day, they had Gentiles get up and say, I'm a goy, and you're superior, and I'm lucky to serve you. And then Huckabee in another speech is like telling the young Jews, you're the rulers of the world. And then they had the major CEO up say, I'm a goy, and I serve you as your minion, and we must censor everyone that doesn't accept that you're superior. I mean, I'm not obsessed with Jews. I'm never, but literally the sect of Jews that think they're God now has this cult in our government, and they're coming and licking boots on TV. What the hell is this? Have you seen those clips?
It's exactly, yeah. And so what happened after the George Floyd hoax? You know, you see these white liberal ladies washing the feet of black, kind of confused looking black people. Like, what are they doing? What are these white ladies doing? Oh, you're a holy black person. It's like not treating other people as human beings, treating them as demigods, which they're not. They're just people like you and me, telling them they're special. Again, if you tell a child this, the kid becomes a psychopath, as you said. So this is something that we did, and I feel bad about it. But no, they are not the chosen people. I'm not the chosen people, and neither are you. We're people, okay? And we do our best to conform to God's will. People of different religions, but anyone who says God loves us most or only us is deranged.
Well, I mean, if Michael Jordan, that's not true. Exactly. If Michael Jordan, at the peak of his success, he's an amazing person, said, I am the chosen one, I am superior, you'd say he needs to be put in a rubber room. This is bizarre.
I'd say you're a great basketball player. Or I'd say to Israel, it's really cool that you built, you know, I don't know, fields in the desert. Like, Israel's done some cool things. I don't hate everything about Israel. But to tell Israel you can do whatever you want and we'll pay for it, and when other people criticize you, that's their problem. They're the haters. Genocide's okay when you do it, but bad when the Nazis do it. To tell them these deranged things and then finance the whole thing for decades, of course you're going to wind up with Mark Levin and Ben Gavir. Like, what do you think's going to happen?
And
that's exactly what we're watching.
Then they say, we'll just come control your Congress even more. And what it is a giant, deranged, psychotic baby with nuclear weapons. And Ben Gavir, I think, is the archetypal Jabba the Hutt, Baron Harkonnen caricature of that. In the time we have left, I've got a bunch of questions from the listeners that came in on X. Everybody should obviously subscribe to the Tucker Carlson Network, follow your shows, your prolific work. I mean, you are literally the tip of the spear, my friend. This question came in from Pug Holder, and it says, Tucker, you say you're leaving the Republican Party. Will you commit to not supporting J.D. Vance if he runs for president? Well, I mean, I know this a lot better than Mr. Neocon, Israel First, Marco Rubio. Another lady, Dina Ria, says, will he please help us start an American First party? How do we better position 2028? We need someone who actually gives a damn and is willing to make massive changes in the Fed, stay out of endless wars, etc. It seems, unfortunately, like Trump has a stranglehold on the GOP. Seems fruitless. I think that's why you're saying you're leaving, but maybe I'm too pessimistic, says Money Printer. Go bruh. I got a bunch of other ones. Let me ask you this way. What do you mean by you're done with the Republicans? Obviously, you don't think you're endorsing the Democrats. What are you saying here? Is this when Joe Kent resigned to draw attention, to get them to course correct? Well, here you are. Yes. What does Tucker Carlson say?
I mean, as usual, I don't have any kind of plan or grand strategy. I've never had that in my life. I was asked a question and I answered it directly. And the question was, can you support this? And of course not. I mean, I can't support the Republican Party in its current incarnation for the same reason I can't support the Democratic Party in its current incarnation. They have the same views. They have the same views on the big questions, on the economy and foreign policy. Trump, over the past year, has been essentially indistinguishable from Chuck Schumer on the big issues. And again, just to restate, the big issues are how do you manage the economy, how you decide who gets the wealth, who doesn't, and how do you manage your foreign policy? Where do you engage? What are your priorities? And on those questions, which are the questions of government, with all respect to the trans debate, okay, those are the big questions. They're in lockstep. And I didn't want that to be true. I thought that Trump was an option to that. I thought he was a third option. I supported Trump in 2024, not because he's a Republican, but because he was not a traditional Republican. That's the whole point. And that's why everyone I know supported Trump, not because he had identical views to the Republican Party leadership. He had very different views. And I thought those were the views that were going to be enacted into law and policy, but they weren't. And instead, the views of Mike Johnson, a person for whom I have no respect at all, those views became dominant, the Mark Levin views. So like, why would I support that? I would never support that. Why? Because I'm an American and I want what's best for my country. It's that simple. I'm not being paid by anybody and I'm not being told what to say. I've got a bunch of kids. I want the country to continue in a recognizable way. And well, I totally think the Democrats' ideas allow that.
So, and I understand it's just a gut level thing to say, hey, I'm not with this because Trump's with the Republican establishment more than ever.
Yeah, because everyone's imprisoned in this binary. And that's the whole point of it. That's why they emphasize the trans stuff. The trans stuff is insane and it's disgusting. It's anti-Christian. But why do they emphasize it? Maybe they created it for this reason, to create the illusion that there is this massive fight between the parties, when in fact, on the big issues, they are in lockstep. There is no meaningful difference on economics and foreign policy between what this administration has done by and large and by what Chuck Schumer would do were he president. Sure. Now, I hope that changes.
Sure, it's like it becomes a football issue, so they can act like there's something they disagree with, but on the main issues, it continues on. So what are you advising people to do? I mean, still good Republicans that are America firsters, support them. Don't support neocons.
I support good people, and if they call themselves Republicans, that's fine. I'm just saying, or if they call themselves Democrats, that's fine. Try to think clearly. Here's my point, to the extent I have one. Try to think clearly about what's good for your family and good for your nation, and factor out the irrelevant things like party identification or peripheral issues that don't have direct bearing on the future of your kids, and try and think clearly about what your real interests are and who opposes them. And I'm just saying, I don't care how many times he goes on Fox News, Mike Johnson, the Republican Speaker of the House from Louisiana, opposes everything that is in your family's interest long term. And that would include territorial integrity, immigration. That would include the strength of the U.S. dollar, the economy. And that would include whether or not your son or grandson gets killed fighting a war for Israel. It's that simple.
I totally agree. So let me ask you this.
I don't know why would we support that? And I don't care what name you call me or what name you call yourself. I'm a conservative Republican. I'm part of the Liberty Pro-Jesus Caucus. Really? Show me how. Like, well, we should demand a little bit more, I think.
Well, I know you fought really hard, and I disagree with something you said about 6 months ago. You said, I apologize for supporting Trump. The first time, he was way better and did a lot of things. We didn't have a bunch of new wars. The second time, you know, he was a rebel. They came after him. He got a lot of good things done. But about four or five months into the new administration, he changed. So you weren't wrong. I wasn't wrong. Starting with the Epstein, then shutting down Doge, and then everything else, you know, these wars. Bovino tried to be nice about it, but he's gone public. Trump killed internal enforcement of immigration and basically put former Democrats from Biden are now being put in to control it. They're even weakening actual border security now. That's confirmed. And Bovino told me during the break, and later it came out, no, he said on Fox a month later, no, Trump ordered this. So something changed. I know you were talking to him all the time then. Sometimes I've been at your house. Hey, I gotta go. All right, it's Sunday night, the 28th day of June, 2026, and that Tucker interview was so powerful, I wanted to air most of it there. There's about 6-7 minutes left. It's posted on X, Roloff Jones, because that interview got massively attacked by the corporate media. It got massively attacked by the neocons, the Israel lobby, and we have the facts here. There's no way, if you believe in a sovereign country, and you believe that the American people and our government should be in charge, that you can support what's happening. Let me show you incredible proof. Trump's chief social media strategist, one of his top advisors, one of his speechwriters, Alex Brusewitz, went on Tucker Friday, and in amongst the hour and a half interview, he said, no, since Netanyahu got $500 million last year, this year they just appropriated $786 million. That's mainstream news. We're not hiding it. To engage in domestic propaganda and to buy off social media influencers. Since that was announced last year and this year, Alex Brusewitz came out on Tucker, very credible person, and said, I was offered $20 million just during the war, the last 122 days. To push all of this Israeli propaganda, pro-war propaganda. Now, this is Trump's main advisor that runs his social media. So you're going to a government official, a foreign government is, and saying, here's $20 million to put our messages out. Even if I agree with all the messages Israel's putting out, which I don't, I would say that's crazy. You can't do that. Now, I have Netanyahu last June and July, August, September, gave a bunch of speeches. You've seen all this, but I like to always play it again. To a group of Christian influencers and talk show hosts on Salem that's openly funded by the Israeli government now. They're in the group. Saying we're in an eight-front war. This is the eight-front propagandizing the American people. So whereas the Russians and the Chinese and the EU and they've all been caught somewhat, not those are the Russians had a huge footprint, they didn't compared to this, but the Russians sure try to influence some things. And they falsely claimed Trump was being paid off by the Russians. No proof of that. They claimed I was. Absolutely not true. And, Benny Johnson is totally pro-Trump, pro-America. I mean, you can say to the extreme, doing whatever Trump pushes. And he was part of some media consortium where an international group would buy ads and run his stuff on clip sites. And Russia owned part of it. And they said, oh, look, he's a Russian agent. And he didn't even know that. And so what? It's all his pro-America stuff. They're putting that out? Total pro-Trump stuff? Pro-Iran war stuff? I mean, the point is that the Russians are very inept. Comparatively, like the Chinese or the EU or Hollywood or the globalists, the Democrats. But you have Trump's head of social media saying, no, I just got offered by the Israelis $20 million over a year, $2 million a month, roughly. That'd be like $24 million. He said over $20 million. You'll see the club. And I said, no. Well, they know better than to even offer me that money. I've never been offered money by the Republicans. I had the Nature Conservancy Sierra Club about 16 years ago come and offer product placement and stories they wanted me to run and announcements they wanted me to make for money. And I didn't respond back. And I've had a lot of Bitcoin companies and people approach me. I never took it. If I agree with the Bitcoin sponsor, I'd take it. But it was always like, hey, read this article on air, but don't say it's a sponsor, and here's 10 grand. I'm like, nah, no thank you. Just because when I say something news-wise, it's because I believe it, I'm covering it, that's my opinion or my view. Now, I've had guests on before that I later learned would just start plugging some supplement or some retreat or something, and I later learned they were paid to, when they went on shows as guests, without us knowing, we've had guests on, we later learned, we're given some money to put something out. Like, oh, by the way, my gold sponsor is really great. Or, by the way, we're having this conference. And, guests do that. It just goes to the territory. But I've never taken money to say something from the Russians, the Democrats, the Republicans, anybody. And only a few times have I, was offered money to basically push an agenda. And it was always like environmental groups, but that was a long time ago. I never took it, obviously. But the point is that this is illegal. And so when you see this big push everywhere, people being censored, and the ADL saying we're tracking whoever criticizes this war, if you say Israel got us in the war, we're going to call you an anti-Semite, get you demonetized, and get you censored. I mean, Israel admittedly drug us in, brags about it, drug us into Midnight Hammer last year, drug us into this the day before we got in on March 1st, the attack February 28th. Netanyahu gave two speeches last week. We played the clips saying, no, Trump doesn't run me. I drug the U.S. into these wars. You want to see the clips again? So I'm in an awkward position because I'm worried about the Chi-Coms, the EU, Hollywood, the left, Soros, the Democrats, the NGOs, USAID, the EPA, all the stuff they were doing, big tech, AI. Palantir, Google, Oracle, the kill switches in all the cars, chemicals in the food and water, poison shots, Fauci trying to cook up a new pandemic. And I'm always like, yeah, okay, Israel did something bad over here. We'll cover it. Yeah, okay, great. They're trying to control our foreign policy. That's wrong. Now Israel's just in there trying to take over the Defense Department. In the NDAA, the Defense Authorization, it's all there. So I'm going to go to break in a few minutes. And I'm going to just finish up with Israel. It'll take me like 15 minutes. I'm going to move into all the other insane news. We basically have a race war going in America. It's black on white. terrible, just unbelievable examples of this. It's gone white hot from red hot. We got Muslims marching all over the world declaring they're conquering the West. You've got good news from the Supreme Court on border enforcement, deportations, left-wing out there. We got a big second hour. And then I got some guest hosts in the third and fourth hour that are amazing talk show hosts. And I wanted them on about the MKUltra hearings that got canceled a few months ago that are back on next week. They first broke that this week. It's confirmed now. They've got the former head of the Border Patrol coming on, Greg Bovino, with exclusive news about what's really happening and the covert stand down domestically that's been going on. Look at this rundown of guests and articles and issues that are coming up. These guys have overprepared. It's going to be an absolutely jam-packed third and fourth hour with Edward Zoll, Jesse Beltran, Matt Hazen, Matt Grady, and others. And the guest, I mean, Greg Bovino, Alexis Lorenz, Jim Gale, and vaccine nanotechnology developments, flu shot secretly returns to military mRNA, Pete Hegseth, announcement that the flu vaccine will be removed, not true. Dr. Brody exposed the danger of nanotech. New developments, new patents. Anna Paulina Luna in the MKUltra hearings next week. J.P. Morgan announces name of third party. The rise of the third party power is coming. Big developments in Iran. The rise of socialism. Mondami. SCOTUS rulings. Who they've nominated to be the new head of the Border Patrol when Bovino comes on. Red flag warnings in effect due to wildfires in Utah and the West. Shocking footage. What's happening there? More on the earthquake in Venezuela. I mean, they are loaded for bear in Sunday Night Live, 6 to 8 p.m. So be sure and join us for that, and be sure and share and take clips out of it. It's going to be powerful. But Israel is openly bragging that they're spending billions of dollars to propagandize us to go into a full war that's even worse than it is now. We've got to come together and stop it and reaffirm our sovereignty.
Alex Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best. And he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call, and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900, and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price, price of the metal in the ground. Manufacturers, miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground, they dig their tunnels, they drive it to the refinery, they melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is, type in what's wholesale gold and silver, and then you get it from them with a little processing fee, and then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation email. You call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900.